So, you know, you say, what's the desire of your heart? What are you believing for? And being real honest, you know, we're going to have a brand new building pretty soon. We're going to have all these other things, and God's blessing us. But at the same time, those things, yeah, I don't pray much about those anymore because seek the kingdom and everything else comes. But if there's something that I really do crave, it's rejoicing. I really don't care if it's in tribulation or if it's in a blessing at the moment. I just want to feel good. I just want to rejoice. And it has really nothing to do with circumstances. Sometimes, you know, you think you're down because of the circumstances, but I know some of the times I'm down is when things are going good. I don't really understand all. I think part of it's our physical makeup. I think part of it's, you know, the endorphins and all that. Part of it is what we set our mind on. Part of it is the cares of the church Paul talked about. There's not a day goes by that I don't have 10 people that I'm seriously praying for and connected to and concerned about. But again, I don't pray that everything just gets good and sweet. I don't care. I really don't care if it's tough or really great. I just want to enjoy it at all. And as he was talking, it was almost like God was saying, that's not a bad idea, John. That's a worthy thing for all of us. Amen? Just say, Lord, I know things are going to get tough. I know we're going to lose people. I know we're going to have heartaches. But at the same time, Lord, I want to rejoice. I want to know because we know the outcome of all this stuff, and it's good. And we know we're going to be together forever and ever, just a short time here on earth. So that takes me to Matthew 11:11. It says, truly I say to you, among those born of a woman. Okay, who's not been born of a woman? Anybody? What an interesting way of saying this. And this is Jesus. He said, truly I say it to you, among those born of a woman, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Now, these are words from our Lord Jesus. Now, you think about Moses, you think about David, you think about Solomon, you think about Elijah and Elisha and all the prophets and all those guys. And yet, here's Jesus saying, and those were all born of woman. He said, nobody's arisen greater than John the Baptist. That's quite a compliment from the king. And in some ways, it's like, what did John do? I mean, he was a wild man. He ate locusts, and he was rough. But he was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. So it's got to be part of it. It was his commission, and his willingness to do that. It made him great. His passion to do that. He was very passionate from the time he was conceived in the womb. He was passionate for what God gave him to do. And then listen to what Jesus said. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's a profound statement. And if you look up the word heaven, it can mean where God dwells, but actually more prominently it's translated the sky, the earth, the universe, or whatever. But I personally believe definitely can have a different opinion. A lot of people do. But I believe the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same thing. It's where Jesus is king. And where is the kingdom of God predominantly? Well, it's anywhere he's king. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's inside you. The Jews wanted Jesus to reign on earth. They wanted the Romans to be defeated. That's why Judas turned in Jesus, trying to force his hand into taking over. But he said, you don't know what, I'm not of that kingdom. He's not trying to rule down here yet. He was just trying to get a place where he could be king. And I won't go into it, but a king is a wonderful, when you got a wonderful king, it's a wonderful thing. When you got a wonderful king, you pay tribute to him, you honor him, but he's the one that protects you. He's the one that provides for you. He's the one that allows you to do your farming and everything else and be free to do it and be, you know, provides everything for you. You know, we get so used to having the leaders over us squash us and control us and manipulate us that we sometimes get a bad attitude towards any of authority. But when God's our authority, it is a good thing. He is all for us. And he said, just said, if you're the least in the kingdom, I believe those who are born again and those who enter in, and of course the kingdom of God, we've talked about it over and over, but I'll keep on talking about it. The kingdom of God is righteousness being the way you should be. You know, if I title this anything, Richard, I don't think it might be, what about you? You know, we're going to go minister to people. We're ministering to other people. We're going to keep doing that. But what about you? What about, you know, I share a lot of my stories, and I feel bad about that sometimes because I'm not trying to say, well, look at me and all this. I'm just trying to, but when I use stories about you, sometimes I get in trouble. My family just almost got to where they wouldn't talk to me because they knew that, then wouldn't tell me anything because they knew they'd be in the sermon. Yeah, it's like, you know, don't, you know. What about you? As much as we want to be concerned about others and et cetera, but there's nobody's life more important to you than you because you're the one that's going to make the choices. You got to value your life. God values it highly, but you got to value it to line up with him. If you don't value your life, then you disrespect God. If you don't value your life, then you disrespect the gift that God has given you, which is life. It's a real insult to the creator of the universe when he's created you and then promised you life and life eternal, and you shake it off as something cheap and something of not much value, or put yourself down and say, well, my life doesn't count. The only one that can make it count is you. The creator already considers it one of the greatest thing there is, and everybody else's opinion really doesn't matter at all. So value your life. What about you? Value what gets to happen to you, because that's honoring the king. You know, I shared with the funeral the other day, you know, David said this, what shall I render to the Lord for all his goodness and kindness to me? That's a great question, isn't it? What can I do to thank God for all that he's done? And David says this, I will lift up my cup of salvation. To me, that what that means is, you know, I'm so grateful, God, for everything you've given me, and so I've got this cup that he pours into, you know. It's kind of like this, oh, God, I'm so grateful for everything you gave to me. Fill it up again. Fill it up again. And I believe David was led by the Spirit of the Lord to say that, to say, if you want to honor me, pour your cup out and bring it back to me and let me fill it again. That will honor me, is what I believe the Lord is saying. If you want to give praise to him, what can I render to the Lord? I'll lift up my cup. It's not, he doesn't need our sacrifice. He doesn't need all that. He just needs us to what? Believe. To believe. So think about John the Baptist. Now, he died around the age of 30. You know, forgive me, but I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about John being beheaded, and I thought, you know, that's really not a bad way to go. I mean, you know, I think everybody gets kind of, if you see a guillotine, don't you just kind of get a little wheezy feeling, you know, like, that's got to be a bloody mess or whatever. But in a way, you know, that's not a bad way to go. I mean, there's a lot of diseases that will just torment you. And a sharp blade through the neck, not bad. I mean, it's just a slight little, it's like the doctor said, there's going to be a little pinch here. Be like a mosquito bite. Yeah, okay. I don't know why I think it's weird, but some doctors say, well, you probably can still see for about a minute or so after your head's cut off. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Now you're going to have to deal with that the rest of your life. But really, a minute or 2 minutes, that's not that big a deal. It's way better than a whole lot of other ways to go. Anyway, John went that way. Do you think John up in heaven right now is saying, dang, I wish I could have spent another 50 years eating locusts, being in the wilderness? I really don't think so. I don't think John's going to, I think we get to heaven and talk to him. You know, 2,000 years later, a few more days, a few more years don't make any difference, you know. And 2,000 years from now, looking back on this time period, a lot of stuff you and I are going through, we're not going to say, oh, wow, I wish I would have got, you know, that or this or whatever, right? And we have the ability to look forward and say that and just say, you know, I might as well just enjoy today because it's going to pass one way or the other. It's not that big a deal. And I can go through it grumpy, or I can go through it rejoicing. And like I said, my only real prayer is, Lord, I want to rejoice. And I don't understand sometimes when I have the will to do that, and I have the determination to do that, and I have the knowledge. I still have days that I go through grumpy. I get fed up with myself sometimes. But so far, I've asked for a sub, but God hasn't subbed me out yet. It's still me. It's still you. What about your life? So think about John, and that he was called the greatest of all born of a woman, and yet you, if you just got born again and you hadn't done anything else, you're greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because of who you are. A child of God. Joint heir with Jesus. That's who you are. It's not your job. It's not your income. It's not how many nice things you got. It's not how people respect you. No, who you are is a child of God that is joint heir with Jesus, that owns everything and is going to run the universe with him forever and ever and never die and always be happy and always be powerful. Does faith make a difference? You know, we talk about it a lot, but does your faith make a difference? I don't know if you saw this, but Kid Rock was being on a podcast with Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan said, if you could go back in the past, Kid Rock, who would you like to go see? And he said, Jesus. Just like that, he said, Jesus. Now, I don't know if you know Kid Rock, but he's a rock and roll star. He drinks heavy. He cusses heavy. He's weird. I kind of like him. But that's what he said. I'm just saying, you know. And he said, I'd go see Jesus. And Joe kind of indicated, well, what if he's not there? And Kid Rock didn't understand the question, because he said, well, that'd be great because it'd be just him and me. So it's like, I don't need everybody else. I just want to be with him myself. And Joe said, no, I mean, what if there wasn't a Jesus or isn't a Jesus? Oh, he said, no, there's a Jesus. And Joe said, well, how do you know? And he goes, my faith. And I thought, okay, stretching the limits here a little bit. They're smoking cigars. They're drunk, they're cussing, but he said out of his mouth, my faith. And then he said, Joe, would you like to meet him? He said, I can introduce you to my pastor. And he can. Joe said, I'm good, I'll wait. God's got Joe's number, by the way, like he's got everybody else's number. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Does your faith make a difference? So think about the here's all the Israelites come out of Egypt, ready to go in the promised land, but who gets to go? Only two guys that believed. All the rest didn't get to go. Does faith make a difference? Does your faith make a difference? The Bible said we live by faith. You know what faith is? It's hearing the word of God and believing it. And we talked last week about Shammah. And what is Shammah? It's a hearing heart. What do we hear? We hear the word. We hear the truth. And it brings us life. And it brings us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Shammah is the same thing. When Solomon prayed for a hearing heart, he was praying, Lord, let my heart take in your word and hear it, understand it, believe it, and then obey it. And it's the same thing that Jesus was saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. Where's the kingdom? It's inside. Seek first the kingdom and righteousness. Seek for who you really are. Not how you're acting, not what you believe, behaving and all that. There's ups and downs and all that kind of stuff. But seek who you are. You are born into the kingdom of God, and you're greater than John the Baptist because of the position that you hold as being in his image. Blameless. The Bible says this new spirit man that you and I got by just saying we believe in you, it almost seems cheap, because it's like, if we had to really sacrifice, you know, there's people who will crawl on glass for miles to try to get the kingdom of God in their life. They think their sacrifice is going to put them someplace. Definitely the Buddhists, that's their whole deal. You got to really sacrifice to have a good life. Then there's a lot of people in Christianity that still believe in that same thing. And Jesus said, don't go back to that stupid stuff. This is only one way, and it's believe in me. Believe in me. Your faith in him and who he is everything. And then what do? You seek about who you really are. Because it's not you're going to become that. You already have become that. It's a free gift. I know you've heard this. I know I've heard this. But man, I need to be reminded day by day, don't you? What a wonderful thing. I am a child of God. And there's nothing anybody can do about that. Nobody can separate. Nobody can cancel that. Nobody can say, you're stupid, John. You'll never make it. They can say all they want to. It doesn't change a thing. I'm a child of God. And he looks at me with extremely great honor. He looks to me and he looks to you with deepest respect. He respects you so much. I mean, his respect for you and your respect for yourself don't come close. If there's anything he would love, I think, if I can speak on behalf of Jesus, anything he'd love to see is love you. He would love for you to trust him and believe him when he says, you are awesome. You're just like me. I put myself inside you. Isn't that what it says? The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have died and now you live, and that's me living inside of you. Would you please respect that? I mean, can you hear Jesus kind of go walk up to you face to face and just say, would you please honor me and believe that you're awesome? And that you, you know. And then he said stuff like, yeah, you guys are going to do greater things than I did. Because I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to send you my spirit, and you're going to be able to do more things than I did. That's a big thing to believe. The kingdom of God is not mere words, Paul said. It's power. You are powerful. The Lord's been ministering to me again, just saying, John, pull up. You're powerful. Don't shake that off. Don't get into false humility and, oh, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. I'm just. How many of you ever heard this saying from, well, we're all humans. We're just a human. And you go, okay, that's true. We still have a flesh, right? Still kick the dog. Seth said I was preaching to him the week I said that because he kicked his dog that morning. Well, I'm only human. Well, if you're going to say that, at least say the other. I'm only like God. I'm only full of the Spirit of God. I'm only in the kingdom of God. I'm only a joint heir with Jesus. I'm a king. I'm a priest. That's all I am. Man, if you're going to say one, at least say the reciprocal of it. I'm powerful. We were playing volleyball, and there's a new girl that was came there, and her name was Vintage, and she was beside me, and she jumped up, and she went down, and all of a sudden she was limping, and she says, take my, in place. She walked off and she grabbed her foot, and it was hurting. And Palmer, where in the heck is Palmer? He's always here. So I just walked over, grabbed her foot, and when I grabbed it, she goes, ow. And I thought, well, way to go, John, way to go. Make it worse. I thought, no, I just grabbed her foot, and I prayed. I just said, thank you, Jesus. The angels are with her, and this is healed. And then I just looked at her and I said, you'll be okay in about 2 minutes. Yeah. And she didn't acknowledge, she didn't go ooh, ah, or nothing, I was just, and then I backed off. And then this other gal who was new there, didn't know who she was, the older lady, she came over and she obviously was a medical person. She's twisting it, she's doing this, and she backs off and says, I think you just pulled a little bit in the arch, it's fine, walk it off. You'll be fine in a couple minutes. And I go, okay, did I just get lucky? Or did what I say manifest? Maybe it was more than that. I don't know. Does it matter? But what was no big sacrifice for me to go over there, put my hand on her foot and say, I didn't pray loud or anything. And then And then it just blurted out of my mouth, you'll be fine in 2 minutes. And then every time I do that, I walk away and go, well, that wasn't smart. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to sometimes do something and say, well, I wonder if that was really God or not. It's God. Why not believe? Faith makes a difference. I believe his word above my opinion. That's the biggest thing. That's why it's so humbling. You got to get rid of your pride. You got to get rid of your arrogance because you got to start saying what he says and your own personal opinion says differently. And you got to just put it down. Stomp on your own opinion. Let me read a couple of scriptures. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And the news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district. Jesus walked in the power of the Spirit. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. I'm going to heaven. I'll send you the Holy Spirit so that you can do greater things. Why? Because the Spirit is what caused me to do this, and the Spirit's got to go and cause you to do this because you are a holy vessel for God. Mark 12, 27 says, He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You're greatly mistaken. Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the Scriptures or the power of God? We need to rise up and understand the Scriptures and the power of God. The Spirit of God is in us, and we're in the kingdom, and it's a kingdom of power. It's not a weak kingdom. It's the King. The King of Kings is our King. There is no other King higher. That's what makes us powerful. Jesus said this to the centurion. He says, I've never seen faith like yours. And what did the centurion say? He says, I'm a man under authority, so I have authority to tell these guys where to go. I know if you just speak the word, my servant's going to be healed. Why? Because I recognize that you, Jesus, are under authority. So what he's saying is when you recognize that you're under his authority, that's what it means to be in the kingdom. When you recognize, Jesus, you're my king, then you have authority. And what you say comes to pass. It's that simple. But boy, it takes a constant mind renewal to keep this on target. So that's why we keep on encouraging each other. Peter said this. He said, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if it is our own power or piety, by our own power we made him walk? Peter spoke to a guy and he walked. Everybody said, wow, you're powerful. He says, no, you don't understand. The power I have, I am powerful. But it's because I'm under authority. That's what we got to keep remembering. God said in the beginning, he says, I'll give you power to make wealth. Just remember where it came from. Amen. You know, this week we pulled a trigger. We had a meeting Friday with the contractor and the architect and all that. And we're still negotiating with the insurance company. And they're not dragging their feet. They're just behind. Everybody's busy. And we haven't come to an agreement yet. And I talked to Cliff Court. I talked to my wife. I talked to Jody. I talked to everybody on staff. I talked to my family. And I said, it's time to pull the trigger. And everybody goes, yep, okay. It's so sweet to walk with the Lord. I mean, when you're on walk, you're going to walk. You're going to try to figure things out. That's a process you got to go through. Check your information. Get all that. Trust your heart. Pray and all that. But then all of a sudden it's going to come and you're just going to say, it's time to pull the trigger. Just do it. It's just time. Time to go. Doesn't matter if everybody thinks you're right or wrong. Doesn't matter. I'm not worried about that. I just want to make sure I heard him. But I have to use my faith to make sure I heard him. There is no other evidence than faith. So I just told the contractor, said, bam, pull the trigger, let's go. Okay. And he goes, all right, well, you know, and for a couple things we got to do is finalize some architectural or engineering designs on the metal work that goes in now. We have to have metal beams because of codes. And so anyway, they got to coordinate that, and then the metal people can start building the beams. That has to get done. But, you know, it was just time. And we'll figure it out with insurance. We'll get it figured out. It's just time. And yesterday the Lord says, as the building progresses, you'll notice that I'm also going to be building your body back. I said, what body? He said, which body would you like? And the first thing I go, this one. I want this built up. I want to finish my race strong. Don't you? I don't want to go the way of the world. There is a law of sin and death of this world that everything, you know, deteriorates and everything. And that's a law that you can't break. It's going to happen. But Romans 8 says, but the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from that law. And the Spirit of God inside you will quicken your mortal body. And he said, just watch. Your body's going to get stronger as the building gets building. And I thought, that's just a cool word, isn't it? That's not just for me. It's for you. This is the body I belong to. So expect yourself to get physically stronger, mentally, emotionally, and everything else as we go on. And it's just an encouraging word, isn't it? Take it. And we're, you know, I have to say, even as Enrico was sharing, I thought, oh, you're going to get a new building. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be bigger than this one. Do we have to vacuum more? Somebody's going to be worried about spilling coffee in it. We'll have to just dump coffee on the floor to get everybody over that. Folks, we're going to have fun. We're going to rejoice. The building is, it's necessary. We got kind of used to being snuggles in here, but there's other people that are going to come. We got other things to do. There's a whole generation that will use it after us. I'm real patient for the building. But all I really want is I want life. I want joy. I want energy. I want hope. I think you do too. What about you? Use your faith. Use your faith. We don't have to go the way of the world. Yeah, it's a law. Everybody else has to do it, but we have a king that says, well, if you want that body to be renewed, I'll renew it. That's my will. Believe it. And be patient for it. And don't give up. Amen? All right. Good keys this morning. Father, thank you. We just say thank you.
And I think the angels will be here when I'm gone, and the angels will be with me in that plane. And dear God,
what I prophesied once, that if a wing falls off, I'm still going to be fine. I might get to see that. Parts have been falling off planes lately. But I'll be fine. They'll be fine. And Father, someday, each and every one of us will depart from this body. John did it at an early age of 30, but he has no regrets. We won't have any regrets. But you also told us to live by faith. To live. Be vibrant. Have the virtue of life streaming inside of you. Have rivers of living water flowing out of you, for my spirit has been sent unto you. Have faith. Believe that what I spoke is absolutely true for you. And I thank you, Father, that each one in this room and everybody listening to me, what about me? What am I going to do? Faith makes a difference. Father, I want to be in faith. I know everyone here wants to be in faith, and I thank you that you've already given it to us. It's not something we come up with. We just keep hearing the word, and the word takes root in our heart, and it grows, and it produces power. And we are powerful people, and we thank you for it. We bless you. Would you stand with me just for a moment, and let's just worship the Lord together in closing? You can say it loud, you can shout it, nobody's going to get mad or offended. If they do, that's okay. Or you can just whisper it. But just tell God how thankful you are. Father, we're just thankful people. And we're going to declare who we are. We have a lot of emotions, we have a lot of feelings and all that, but Father, we're going to declare right now, this is who we are. This is what we believe. We believe we are now the children of God. We believe that we are holy and blameless before you. We believe that you have placed your spirit inside of us, and we're new creations, and all the old things have passed away and all these new things have come. We believe that therefore we're courageous people to step out on the water and just walk on top of it. We believe as we go that we're going to be touching many people. We are anointed by the Holy Ghost, and wherever we go, we just bless people, Lord. And we can do that in Albania. We can do that on a volleyball court. By the way, on that story, I stepped back onto the court, and I heard Palmer, he was beside me, and just said, she's healed in the name of Jesus. It's just fun to be with people who believe. And that's who we are, Lord, and that's what we do, and that's how we do it. We do it by faith. We do it by speaking with our mouths, and we do it by everything you tell us to do, and we are rejoicing. And we are going to, whether it's tribulation or great blessings coming our way, we just stay the same. We're rejoicing and full of hope and full of glory, shining. And Lord Jesus, we are destroying the works of the devil and setting captives free. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the joy of the Lord is flooding this earth. All over the kingdom of God, all over the world, people are coming into Christ, and Christ is coming into them. And we're a major part of that, and we declare it, and so be it. And nothing can be done against that, because you're the King. So be it. Amen.